Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Say glory. Praise the Lord. You can have your seat. Good morning, everybody. So I'll be really fast today. So we'll just start. Anyways, good to see you. How was your week? People always use those words in church. Is that what you say in an office? You go to the bank and the bank manager says, "How are you?"
I'm fine.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. But when in church, you use glorious, awesome, supernatural. Then you go to the bank and manager says, "How are you?" "I'm supernatural." Praise the Lord. All right, so quick announcement. Next week, we're not having service here. Someone said, "We are moving up and down like we are Hebrews." After all, Abraham was moving up and down. And we are the seed of Abraham. All right, we're going back to Rita Laurie. Okay, and service is starting by 10 o'clock as usual. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That baby said glory. Did you hear that? All right, but for today, let's enjoy this place. So let's go. Jesus is the way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, He is the way to the Father. Right? He is the way. And if you have believed in Jesus, you are with the Father now. Do you understand? You're with Him now. This idea, I want to make heaven. I don't want to lose heaven. All of that mindset is not correct. If you're with the Father, or you've believed in Jesus, you're with the Father now. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Go to Philippians. Let me just show you something quickly. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verse 20. Say, "May I make heaven?" You know, I told you last week, if you don't know that you'll be in heaven when you leave this world, you're going to hell. Don't think God is going to pity you. Do you understand? It doesn't work that way. You have to know now. You have to know now. Philippians 3 verse 20. It says, "For our conversation is in heaven." The word conversation there is citizenship. Who is a citizen of America in this place? Can I see your hand? Very soon. America by faith. Okay, how about the UK? Let me see your hand. Well, how about Nigeria? Can I see your hand? Togo. At least Nigeria has some supporters. Praise the Lord. All right. When you're a citizen of a country, you belong there. If you go to the UK and they're deporting people, at least you have a place you can go to. Do you understand? Nobody can deport you from Nigeria. But God can teleport you. All right. But look at this. He didn't say for our conversation. Our citizenship will be in heaven. He said, it is in heaven. Listen to this. Are you paying attention to me? You see, the word of God is very simple. And if you ask the right questions, simple questions, you have answers. Jesus said, you must be born again. Did you hear that word? Again. Meaning, the first time you were born, you ask yourself, the first time I was born, I had a father. I had a mother. I belonged in a country. Do you understand? I had a language. If it says you must be born again, that means I'll have a new father. Yes. new mother, a new country. So if my first country was Nigeria, because was Nigeria, did you hear that? Because my father on the earth is Nigerian, how about my new country? He says it's in heaven. Why? Because we pray to the Father in heaven. Do you understand? Yeah. So you have to know that. You have to. So you can focus on, now, if I am from heaven, then the question will be, what am I doing here? You see that? God is not going to reward anybody for making heaven. Say, you made it. So, you know, it's like some of these folks that travel, aside from me, travel, after like 1 month, come back, you ask, what did they bring? They say, I came. We were expecting you to come. Do you understand? Coming does not deserve any prize. It's what did you bring? But here's that guy who doesn't know, and all his life he's trying not to miss heaven. Then he finally makes heaven and then realizes that he didn't fulfill purpose on the earth, because he was supposed to come with something. Are you seeing that? Come with the souls he was supposed to win. Come with the results of the things that God had planned that he would do. But all his life he was chasing the wrong thing, trying to be where he already was. So if you're a Christian, you're with the Father now. The question is, what do you do now that you are with the Father? Let's go to that John 14 verse 6. John 14 verse 6. It says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth. I like it. It says, I am the truth. Oh, praise the Lord. I've not gotten here yet. But it says, I am the truth. You know what that means? He's saying, whatever you see that is not like me, it's a lie. Who is Jesus? The Word of God. He's saying, whatever you're seeing that is not in line with the Word is a lie. And you better believe the Lord. You better believe Him. He says, I am the truth. Then He says, I am what? The life. If you don't have Him, you've not started living the life. Praise the Lord. Then He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you can't come to the Father by being a Muslim, following whoever. You can't come to the Father by being a Buddhist. He said, you come to the Father, but by me. All right. Now that you have come to the Father, what next? That's the question. I am with the Father now. What next? Let me show you. John 17. John 17. Verse 24. John 17, verse 24. Last week I said, you're with the Father. That means there is a purpose, there's an instruction, and there's what? An inheritance. What is my purpose? Why am I with the Father? Pay attention to me. You are with the Father now. Why? That's the next question. Why? You know, if anybody that got born again died, you can, okay, the reason why we're on this earth is to get born again. Do you understand? But you got born again, you are with the Father, and you are still here. So what next? Look at this, 24. Jesus is praying. And remember, if Jesus is praying, he must receive answers. Right? So look at this prayer. Father, I will that they also... Firstly, I want you to go back and read John 17 when you get back home and see how Jesus prayed. He didn't complicate things. Do you understand? He was very clear with what he wanted. I think that's how you should pray also. He didn't try to bobo God. Oh, Father, King of Glory, Eternal Rock of Ages. That's nice. But that's not what he did. He was very clear and simple. Look at this. 24. He says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Now remember, he told his disciples that he was going to the Father. Right? Now he's praying to the Father that he wants them to be with him where he is. Where is he? With the Father. Pay attention to me. He says, that they may behold my glory. Hey. I said, now that we are with the Father, what next? Look at it. He says, that they may behold my glory. Do you get this? Pay attention to this. In John 14 verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So now I have come to the Father. But yet Jesus is praying that the reason why he wants us to be where he is so we'll behold his glory. So now that I'm with the Father, I have one job. To behold his glory. To look. That's very simple, isn't it?
Yes.
To look. But what happens when you look? 2 Corinthians 3. So, now that I'm a Christian, one of the first things that I must do is look. And it's no surprise. Have you ever read 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17? It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? All things are. Then he says what? Behold. Look. So that's what Jesus is saying here. The first thing you begin to do when you get born again, when you're with the Father, is to look. Things are no longer the same. Notice the change. Are you in this place? Notice, that's why I said, when you were born the first time, you had a father. Now that you're born again, notice there's a new father now. The things your old father could not provide, this new one can provide. Do you understand? When you were born the first time, you were born in a country. He says, now notice, you're in a new country. All the benefits of the old country, all the benefits the old country could not provide, this new one can. Can. Say the health system or health, whatever, is not good enough in Nigeria. He says, they shall lay hands on the sick.
Yes.
And they shall what? Then he says, put to death the transactions of the body. He says, if that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he shall do what? Vitalize your mortal bodies. That is better than any health system. Do you understand? And I'll send a report. Hako, listen to this. You know, that spirit, Jesus died for how long? For how long?
3 days.
That means his body should have started decaying. Same with the kidney. You know he had kidney?
Yes.
And heart? And intestines? They should have started spoiling. When he resurrected, he didn't tell Peter, wait, my ear is falling off. Wait. Is that what happened? It was a perfect resurrection. Meaning that thing that was dead, the spirit quickened. Now he says it is the same spirit that is living inside of you. Meaning if something was dead, it will come back alive. And if it's alive, it will never die. That's what Jesus said. He said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And if he lives, he shall never die. So maybe your old country can't give you all the benefits, the health insurance, and all of that. He says, behold, you're from a new country. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Yes, you are. Now, Jesus said, they should be with me so they can behold my glory. Right? So the question is, to what purpose? I mean, think about it. He just wants us to come and look at him. So why? 3 verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. You know, at times I think, are you with me?
Yes.
Let me just share some things with you. Personal things. If I hear it outside, I'll know it's you. Okay? At times I think, you know, people want to make money. Do you understand? Want a good family, good spouse. So at times you just think, maybe I should teach on that. 5 ways of making money. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? But I told you something last week. The best thing to learn about, or the best person to learn about, is the Lord himself. Because where all those physical knowledge would fail or be limited, with him, there are no limitations. Do you understand? There are no limitations. None whatsoever. I'm just thinking, I've been thinking about this since I came here, so let me just share it. You know, the Bible says, Elisha told the king, and he said, you had other kings that were coming against the king. Elisha said, all right, you know what? Shoot your arrow, all right, and then strike the floor. Okay, and you know, they'll be gone. But what really impressed me was the method with which those kings were destroyed. All right, the Bible says they came out, and where there was water, they saw what? Blood. And they started fighting themselves. I want to show you what God can do. He can change how people see things. You know that prayer I used to pray, Lord, every question mark turn to seven. I heard it in Lagos. I didn't know such prayers existed. Do you understand? Every question, every cancellation turned to one. But it's true. He can affect how a man sees things. I think beyond trying to be like a medical doctor, that is someone you should want to be like. Because with him, there are no limitations. And guess what? He's never wrong. He's never wrong. The best of the best can be wrong. Have you ever seen a child who got 100 from when he was in nursery school to when he graduated university? Have you seen someone like that? 100. Even the teachers will be angry. Sir, not only you, 99. You now, right? 100. So even if the guy got 5 points, some courses he missed some questions. So he's not the thorough best. So he can say, I want to be like that guy. But there are some things he might not know. So why not be like the one that knows everything and can never be wrong? All right, so back to what Jesus said. He said that they will be with me so they will behold my glory. So the next intelligent question to ask is, what will happen when I behold his glory? Verse 18. He says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Are you paying attention to this?
Yes,
see how God transports you. That means he's talking to you as though you are now with the Father. Are you seeing it? He's saying, right now, we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Meaning, we must be with the Father. Because he says, before we behold his glory, we should be with the Father. Do you understand this? Just listen. He says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are what? Changed. Into the same image. Oh, praise the Lord. So this was his prayer. His prayer was like, we'll be where he is. Then when we see him, we'll become like him. That's a prayer. He says, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image. From glory to what? Glory. So the next thing God expects of you, after you get born again, is to be conformed to the image of his son. We saw that the last time, right? Romans 8. To be changed into the same image. I like Romans 8 verse 29. I was talking to someone, and just out of the blue, the person said, Jesus is the only begotten son. We are adopted. Have you heard that before? We are adopted son. No, the Bible says we are adopted. Are you in this place?
Yes,
should I explain that?
Yes,
right? Jesus is the only begotten son. He says, for God so loved the world that he sent what?
Only.
And then the Bible says, we are adopted sons. The spirit of adoption. So that means Jesus is the only true son. And God adopted us. Who believes that? Now, some people might not raise up their hand because... Well, it's true. He was the only begotten. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
please do. All right, please. Because at times when you're talking to people who don't believe in Jesus, they say this nonsense. All right? Yes, he was the only begotten son. But Jesus himself said, except they come up with fall down into the ground and dies, it abides alone. So until he died, he was the only begotten son. Then he died. And the Bible says he did that so God would have many sons come unto glory. So after he died, throughout the epistles, nobody called him the only begotten son. He became the firstborn. So what does it mean when he says adopted? It's because the word adopted that they used then is not the same one you use now. Now when you say this is my adopted child, it means you went to the motherless baby home, all right, and took a child. Then adopted, what is huos? It means the son you have chosen to take your place. A man can have 20 sons and he has an organization. So he chooses one to take over from him. So even though he has 20 sons, 10 of them like to sing. The other 9 want to be police officers. He will choose one that will be a businessman like him. Do you understand? So he has 20 sons, but he has one adopted son. So we are not just children of God that are born of him. We are adopted, meaning that he expects us to function like him. And that's why I said we have an inheritance. Not of properties. He says we are heirs of God. So that adopted son will be the one to manage his father's properties. Do you understand? His inheritance becomes the father's properties. But now God looks at himself and says, where's my property? Okay, you know what? I give you myself. So we have become the heirs of God. So it's no longer only begotten. No, there's a firstborn. Okay, let's get it, 29. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. And I told you the word predestinate means he gave us a destiny. There is a purpose for your life. And last week I said it's not to be a doctor and it's not to be an engineer. When God gives, he gives the best. So he's going to give you a purpose. It has to be linked to him. It's not to be a doctor. God cannot give you a purpose that he can surpass. It says we have a destiny to be conformed to the image of his son. So in order to fulfill that destiny, we are with the Father now, beholding his glory. But someone says, well, I'm sitting, I'm not seeing anything. No, but you have the word of God. Are you in this place? You have the word of God. Let's finish it. It says, conform to the image of his son, that he might be. That he might be what? The firstborn among many what? Brethren. So Jesus is the firstborn. Maybe I'm the secondborn. But it's one big heavenly family. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. So this is when you're with the Father, first job to be conformed to the image of his son. But then Philip asked Jesus, remember last week, he said, Master, show us the Father, and he sufficed us. He said, now that you said, okay, we have to be with the Father, show us the Father. And Philip said, Jesus said, Philip, have I been so long with you and you have not known me? Jesus is the express image of the Father. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He is the express image of the Father. So now that you are with the Father, you have a job. To be conformed to be like him. So the purpose is to be conformed to the image of his son. Go to Ephesians 5. So it says, how will this knowledge give me money? Well, there's a man who didn't ask that question from experience. You know who that man is? Peter. He was a fisherman. Most people have not thought about it. He was a fisherman, making money for his wife. You know Peter had a wife?
Yes.
What's her name? Clara. You know, there are some names that are English, but they've been Nigerianized. Like Caroline, it's Carol. Right? Peace, there's a way, peace, it's not the way, joy, peace. Peace is an Igbo name. Joy. Alright, praise the Lord. Alright. Okay, so Peter had a wife. He had a family. And he left everything to follow Jesus. If you're here and you're concerned about money, the question is, what did Peter know? That he didn't mind leaving everything to follow Jesus. Because one day, he had toiled all night and caught nothing. And then one day this man, he had been introduced to Jesus before, came and said, take your boat inside and cast your net for a catch. And he told the master, we have toiled all night and caught what? Nothing. He says, but at thy word. And so he cast the net. And Bible says they caught so many fishes. They took a second boat. And then the boats began to sink. Not small fishes. Big fishes. Sinking boat fishes. That man is bigger than any money. And then God says, he doesn't just want you to learn how to do what that man did. He wants you to become like that man. That's why Peter followed. Are you seeing that? That's why. So you're here wondering, why am I learning this to be conformed to his image when I have rent to pay? You're also like Peter. Part 2. Peter 2.0. After Jesus resurrected and appeared to the disciples, you know Peter did not see it as a call to ministry. After he resurrected, go look at it, John 21. Peter told some disciples, I'm going to fish. In other words, now he had not been fishing all the while he was following Jesus. But now Jesus has died. Do you understand? Ministry has what? Closed. We have ended. Now we have to fend for ourselves. And so he told disciples, the other ones that were with him, he said, me, I'm going fishing. They said, we are coming with you. So they went with him. And guess what? Same thing. All night. They caught nothing. Think about not even crab. They caught nothing. All night. Not even crayfish. Not by mistake. These were professional fishermen. At times, you know, some people are struggling with one thing. Maybe it's God's time telling you, leave it alone. Do you understand? Leave it alone. No, you must open shop at Echo. You must open. Now you're going there. You nearly had an accident. You refused to stop. You said the devil will not win. All night, they caught nothing. The Bible says when it was about daybreak, Jesus came and stood by the shore and said, children, have you any meat? That means, have you caught anything? You did not caught anything. They said, no. He said, all right, cast your net on the right side for a catch. Listen, that's the man you should follow. Someone can teach you how to. You know, they say, don't give me fish. Teach me how to fish. What if there's no fish in the water? Right? What will you do? What's the next thing to say? If there's no fish in the water, that means you need Jesus. Are you seeing that? You need Jesus. He said, cast the net to the right side. He was specific. Of course they had cast it before. They've been toiling all night. Is there anybody that will toil all night? It's only left, only left, only left. No, they had tried it before. So it wasn't about the side. It's about the word from the master. And I like it so much. The Bible says they caught 153 fishes. Great fishes. That's what the Bible says. You know, you have small fish. You have middle size, like tilapia. You have big fish. You have great fish. The Bible says they caught 153 great fishes. Great. Well, now, what always makes me amazed is that once Jesus said, cast the net on the right side, all the fishes, wherever they had been hiding. Do you understand? Heard the word of the Lord. Something moved and said, go to the right, all of them. Where are you going to the right? To be caught. And the Bible says, when they saw the catch, John said, it's the Lord. Because only the Lord can do what no man can do. Says the Lord. Peter became confused. That's what the Bible says. He was wearing clothes. Or rather, he wasn't wearing anything. Do you understand? If you want to swim, many of you go and swim with your full clothes. You remove, for guys, you remove the shirt. Alright? Peter was about to swim. He put on shirts. And then he swam. And it wasn't even a far distance, because by the time he got to the shore, they had moved to the shore. Maybe he was ashamed. That's not even the best miracle. When they got there, they found fish and bread. Did you get that? You can say the 153 fishes they caught, they hustled for. When they got there, Jesus did not need to hustle. With his word, he brought the fishes and the bread and the fire. What was he telling Peter? The Bible says they brought the fishes, they counted them, 153. Pay attention to me. And then when they counted them, Jesus, when we're done eating, Jesus served them. Do you understand? The guys that say, I don't cook. Who are you following? Jesus cooked and he served. Do you understand? All right. So he served them. When they were done eating, the Bible says he took Peter and said, do you love me more than these? What were these? The fishes. Do you love me more than these? More than your job? More than that thing you thought would give you money? that was more important than me. He said, you love me more than these. Peter said, Master, you know I love you. He said, all right, do my work. Why? Because that thing you're hustling for, the Lord Jesus can give it to you. But then there's a bigger call. He wants you. He wants to enable you so that through you, he can bless others also. That's the call. Sometimes we are listening to this, say, conform to the image of yourself. You say, what is the purpose? What is the benefit in my life? There is a big benefit, though. It's better to be like the one that can do anything. Are you in this place? Than to chase money and how to succeed academically. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, so let's finish Ephesians 5. I have a few minutes, so I'm going to rush. 5 verse 1. All right. He says, be ye therefore followers of God as their children. He says, follow God. Verse 1, I didn't say move. Verse 1. He says, follow God as their children. But let me read from the ISV, a simpler version. The word follow there, good reminder. It says, so be imitators of God. Is there a simpler version? So be imitators of God as his what? Their children. Simpler version, you went to verse 2. Wow. He's putting Spanish. Let me put Yoruba. Is there another version? Okay. Let me just write. It says, be imitators of God as their children. That's an instruction. I told you, now that you're with the Father, there is a purpose, there's an instruction, and there's an inheritance. The instruction is, imitate God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Is that your Bible?
Yes, Pastor.
Imitate God. This statement alone destroys whatever argument anybody has. They say, how can you say we are supposed to be conformed to image of God? No, it says imitate him. Do you imitate someone that you cannot be like? Have you ever tried to imitate a cat before? Even the way they eye people, you get tired. Have you ever tried to imitate a dog before? But you can imitate a person. In fact, everything about your life is imitation. All right, let me explain to you, and I'll end because of time. Everything about your life. There is nothing, for example, why do you talk the way you do? It's your environment. You heard someone talk that way, and you began to talk the same way. Do you understand? Your accent is your environment. Why do you dress the way you do? If you were born in the 10th century, 1910, 1920, you'll be dressing different. So everything that you are right now, in terms of expression, you learned from someone else. Because you can learn from people. You can imitate people. You can't imitate a dog. You can't imitate a bird. You can't. You can't fly Senate building. You can't imitate a fish. But then he tells you, as a Christian, there's someone else you can imitate. God. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as their children. That means whatever you see God do, imitate him. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Listen, he said, imitate him. You read your Bible. Jesus lay hands on the sick. Imitate him. Do you understand? Imitate him. You read your Bible. Someone came to arrest Jesus and he healed his ear. Imitate him. What that means is, be forgiven. Imitate that. You read your Bible, in your Bible, that they crucified Jesus and he still prayed for them. I remember someone was trying to argue that when the Bible says pray for those that persecute you, he didn't tell the kind of prayer. Alright? So he means pray of fire, let them die. Alright? And someone used that. But you have to look at Jesus' life to explain that. Who were those persecuting him? The Pharisees. They even succeeded in killing him. What was the prayer on the cross? He said, not all of you. You think I'm going? Wait 3 days. No. He said, Father, forgive them. He says what? Imitate him. That's the instruction now. Remember, he said he wants to see his glory. That means he wants you to change to the same image. Now that you are changed to the same image, you have to do as he does. Do you understand? It's not enough to be a human being. You must walk too. You must talk. That's how we know you are okay. Do you understand? So it's not enough to come to be the same image. You must do as he does. Imitate him. Imitate him. When they came with problems, there was always a solution. He had the mindset that something can happen. Imitate him. Do you understand? Imitate him. When they came, I like this one so much. They found a woman who had been committing adultery. This was not gossip. The Bible says they caught her in the very act. Only God knows what happened to the man. Probably killed him there. All right. But they dragged the woman to Jesus in the temple. And Jesus was teaching others. No, when they dragged her to him, he didn't say the very act. This is bad. Is that what he did? No, but that's what some people will do. There's some people who wants, you know, thanks to Twitter justice system, when someone is caught doing wrong, they want to kill the person. They drag and drag like director. So imagine if it was Twitter. And they caught the woman in the very act. She's done. When they brought her to Jesus, the Bible says the first thing Jesus did was to ignore them. He ignored them. Someone brings gossip to you. See that our neighbor? That one that is always tying scarf everywhere, everywhere. Say, lie, yo. I saw her the other time entering hotel. Say, you don't mean it. You don't mean it. That is the problem with Christianity. That's what the Christian will be saying. They're not imitating Jesus. He ignored them. That's what they were a lot. They were a lot. You don't have to have an opinion on everything. That's what he was teaching. They came, they said, Master, what should we do? Someone will say, people have been asking me what to do concerning this. I'm talking about Twitter now. They've been asking me what to do concerning this situation. I want to give you 3 points. That's not what Jesus did. When they kept pressing, and woman was somewhere crying, probably thinking, this is the end of my life. I shall not written a will. Very bad. Do you understand? Crying. Jesus said, all right, the one that has not sinned amongst you, cast the first stone. And I always like to tell you, okay, the Bible says one by one from the oldest, because oldest means you stayed in this long for a while, for in this world for a while. So every second, sin. So from the oldest, they started to go to the youngest. And I like to tell you that they could have said, even if I've sinned, even though, it's not as bad as our own. I was still stoned. The fact that they didn't do it tells you the kind of people that were there. These were evil people. And Jesus knew. And they all left. And then Jesus got up and said, woman, no one has condemned you. He said, no one. The Bible says, imitate him. Yes. They found out the lady is a prostitute. Yes. She also smokes. Yes. She's killing people. But if that was in her past and she has repented, forget all those rumors. Don't be what they call radio. Do you understand? Okay, without battery. So any news that gets to you, compound people must hear. And there are people, they know how to do it. They said, not just that, they asked me. Say, how did they ask you something that they didn't know? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the people like that. The lady is passing. She's the only one who knows that this lady works in a club. And maybe that's wrong to her. The lady is passing and the other neighbor is there. Neighbor doesn't know, but it's itching her. She wants to say something. Do you understand? And say, And the other neighbor is wondering, what's wrong with this one? And she notices no response. God will help us. So they say, what is it? Now, when they are accusing her, you went to spread rumors. I say, no, she asked me first. No, that's not Christianly. Are you in this place? He said, imitate Jesus. Don't be quick to condemn people. Do you understand? Don't. Imitate him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes. Look at Paul. He got to an island, and the Bible says In that island, they were trying to make fire. Let's look at it. Acts 27. Did I say I'd close after I said this?
Yes.
No, Joe. I said I'm doing fast. It's now I've closed. Acts 27. Isn't it take time? Acts 27. Well, let's go to 28. 28 quickly. Two minutes, I'm done. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Amen. Amen. All right. Acts 28. I want you to look at this. Verse 1. It says, and when they were escaped, just look at it, this. Okay, so we fast. When they were escaped, so at least you know one extra story in the Bible. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Malta. What that means was Paul nearly died. So they escaped. Verse 2. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. That means these were, you know, barbaric. Do you understand? For they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. So it was cold. And so when people in that island saw strangers, they received them and they lighted fire. Verse 3. And when Paul... Are you in this place? And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, so him too was helping. Are you seeing it? Fire was... But you know, fire, you have to keep feeding fire. Else it would die down. And it was raining. So everybody went to carry stick. Paul didn't say, me, apostle. The whole apostle should be carrying stick. Someone was there writing, right? So he said, look, I'm carrying stick. No, he went. He said, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, all right, there came a viper out of the heat. So with the sticks, there was a snake there. And he didn't know. Okay? There came a viper out of the heat and fasting on his hand. That means the thing bit him. Do you understand? And was dangling on his hand. It was, what would you do? Some people ordinary war gecko. Ah! Fasting on his hand. Verse 4. This is the guy who wrote, if that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he shall vitalize your mother. No, a snake is on his hand. Now we have to be sure he wrote what he really believed. Look at this. And when the barbarians saw, so it was not a hidden thing. The people there saw the venomous beast hang on his hand. So they saw it. They said, look at that guy. There's a snake on his hand. They said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer. He's a bad man. Whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live. You know what they're saying? They said, no doubt this man is a bad man. He was supposed to die in that water. He was supposed to die. But he escaped. Now, there's a plan B. Verse 5. They are looking at Paul. Paul probably didn't even know they were looking at him. Look at this. And he shook up the beast, stole the fire, and felt no harm. The end of the story. He didn't ask, hey, tie it. What type of snake is this? This is the dead. Oh, no, this is very bad. No, he shook it off. And felt no means there was no pain. And this is the man that said, there's a spirit that lives in us. That vital. What does that mean? That means if he can bring to life the dead kidneys of Jesus. Are you in this place? It means he can neutralize any poison. He can. And that was what happened with Paul. And he felt no harm. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So imitate this. Do you understand? Imitate it. Start with the one you know. If you hit your leg, don't say, ah, mommy. No. Shake it. Feel no harm. Are you in this place? If I'm walking down the road, and it's happened many times, and I have closed. Okay? And maybe someone falls down. Someone just fall anyhow. Do you understand? Alright? My first instinct is to go and pray for the person. I do it every time. To go and pray for the person. There's a reason why. Not because I like to pray like that. If it's left to me, I'll just be walking. Alright? But because I know big problems usually start little. Small. It was just an injury from the fall. And all of a sudden, the leg begins to swell. Swell, and it gets worse. Anytime I remember that, I run and I go. I don't run. I can't run. You have fallen already. So I walk and I meet the person. And I said, can I pray for you? And every time, they get better. Who am I imitating? The Lord Jesus. The Bible says he went to Jerusalem. All right? And then he went to a marketplace. And he saw the multitude of invalid folks, lame, couldn't walk. And he met one of them and said, do you want to be well? The Bible says, imitate him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say, I have the life of God in me. Speak in other tongues.